Named after the mechanism that separates the sweet wort from the spent grain, False Bottom Girls helps you filter through the wonderful yet sometimes confusing world of beer.
Hey, I'm Rachel Hudson, head brewer and co-owner of Pilot Brewing and an advanced cicerone.
Hi, I'm Jen Blair, master cicerone, home brewer, and sensory expert. False Bottom Girls is proudly sponsored by Jasper Yeast, yeasts that are out of this world. Learn more about Jasper Yeast at jasperyeast.com. Welcome, everyone, to this episode of False Bottom Girls. I am Jen.
I am Rachel.
And today, Rachel's going to be telling us about something. I'm very excited about it because I've been seeing this everywhere. I know nothing about it.
We're so talking excited.
About Fonio.
Pronounced Fonio.
Oh, really?
I have since learned.
Okay.
According to a YouTube video I watched from the guy who owns the company where I bought the product. So
okay. Well, if you
from,
name it, then
and
you
he's from
know.
The he didn't name the grain. But he's from Africa. So I'm just gonna assume that he's more correct than what I say. Fonio is what was first told to me, but I since learned it's pronounced Fonio. It also has a couple other names, known as, how do you say it? Findi or Findi or Acha, Acha.
Okay.
I may probably pronouncing those names wrong, but I think those are more local names. So anyways.
Got it.
Fonio. Pronounced like the telephone, phone, and then like the yo-yo, yo, Fonio. I like it. Anyways, so a little backstory of how I came across Fonio. Not you and me, Razi and I were at FOBAB this past November, judging the Festival of Barrel of Beers. And they have a Guinness there. Guinness has a location there. So we went to Guinness when we got in and we sat at the bar and they had a little chalkboard sign that said, try our dry Irish stout made with Fonio. And I was like, excuse me, I need everyone to stop what they're doing and come explain to me what this is. No, it was really cool because as a beer person, especially someone who's been doing this a long time, I do not know everything about beer. Shocker, I know. So I get really excited. And plus, there's always new things. I mean, you're never going to learn everything about beer. So I always get really excited when I come across something that I haven't seen before, especially something I can use myself.
Right.
So they had a dry Irish stout made with the Fonio and it was delicious. And you know, it was very much a dry Irish stout. This isn't like creating new beer styles, right? This is a grain and imparted a lighter body to the stout and very, very interesting that Guinness did it. I mean, I just love the fact they did do a stout because you know, they're Guinness. So like to be able to try like a regular stout versus this lighter bodied version also had like some white wine, Sauvignon Blanc, aroma and flavor characteristics to it. It was very interesting to try, especially against the regular stout. So I learned in talking with the bartender and then kind of just looking up some stuff that around 2019, Brooklyn Brewery and Russian River and even Carlsberg and Guinness, and I'm sure some other breweries that I'm not thinking of or know about got together to do a raising kind of awareness project with this grain. This grain is traditionally from West Africa, still from West Africa. That's where they grow it. And it was very widespread about 5,000 years ago. It was very common. It will grow in really harsh conditions. So in the desert, without a lot of water, it will grow without pesticides and fertilizers. And it was a very big vital food source to many rural areas in West Africa, specifically up in the more northern part around Nigeria and Senegal and Guinea. All these, I say the more northern part, like close to the north, way more versus the south. This isn't really a South African crop. It is more North Africa because of the conditions of the region there. Right. It doesn't do very well in humid conditions.
And that I think that makes sense because a lot of like barley doesn't do well in humid conditions.
Yeah. Yeah, go ahead.
Looked up how much a flight to Lagos, Nigeria would cost the other day because I really want to go. So if you want to take like a Fonio trip to Nigeria, I am down.
You could talk me into that. You could definitely talk me into that.
We can do that and then Romania.
Okay. You know, this is a crop that was highly cultivated thousands of years ago, that was widely used, and due to French colonialization, they wiped it out, because that's what you do when you colonize a new area. You take away everything that the people of that area depend on so that they depend on you.
Right.
So the white man said, no, we're not going to grow Fonio. You are going to grow corn and wheat and the grains that we're used to. And shocker, they didn't grow well in the desert. So you had to bring in nitrates and fertilizers and pesticides so all these things grow, which, guess what? All that is oil-based, runs off the plants into the water. So we're really creating we're fixing a non-broken wheel here. It's kind of fucked up, but that's what colonialization does, and that's the power of that, right? So anyways, we wipe out not only a crop, but like a business source, a livelihood source for these people that live in this area. So obviously this is a long time ago, and now we're kind of getting back to the roots of that area. And Yolele is a company in New York that is responsible for bringing over most amount of Fonio from West Africa. Their goal as a company is to promote this grain mainly. They have some other things, but try to find ways of Fonio as a food source for America, because one, it is gluten-free. So it is a great food source for celiac. There's also, you know, a really big health trend of going with non-gluten products. It is, when we buy this product, most of it, at least anything coming from Yolele, or is going to be certified B Corporation. These farmers are. So a lot of this profit is going back to the farmers of the area, which is awesome. Like, now, this is what I'm talking about. Let's support these people over there and what they're already doing, and so they can have a livelihood and not have to flee their country for better living conditions. You know, I think it's great. I don't know, you know, I think if you listen, there's a really great All About Beer podcast that with Garrett from Garrett Oliver from Brooklyn, and from Vinny from Russian River, about their experience with brewing with Fonio and why they started this project. And it'll tell you a lot about his, like, you know, how he got to know Yolele and why he wanted to do this. But I feel like I'm getting so excited about it, and I can't even figure out what I want to say, because there's a real, like, climate change. All right, this is a really great way. Someone asked me a couple of weeks ago, do you think this is just going to be a trend that just fades away, you know? And I was like, honestly, I mean, throwing a bunch of hops in New England IPAs, or I don't know. There's other good examples of things that fade away. But the thing with this is that this is such, Fonio goes way more than just beer. I mean, this is a food source. You can cook it. If it is very, like, it's like couscous. It looks like couscous when you cook it. It's a millet type grain. It's very nutty tasting, although it doesn't partake that nuttiness in beer. That doesn't come across in beer, but in the food source, it is nutty. I mean, you can substitute it with anything that you make couscous or quinoa for, and it's gluten-free product. One of the problems, and it's getting better, but it is, you know, the way it grows, it is a grass-like plant. It grows like grass in the desert. If you look this up, this grain, it is the size of sand. And it is a millet type. So each of these millet type grains has its own little casing around it that needs to be decorrugated off that grain. And then it also needs to be washed to get rid of any of the sand that is with it as well. So to do this in a manual sense, it is very laborious. Like, you are, I think it, you know, I was told, or at least in this podcast episode, they said it would take hours for someone to make just a kilo worth of this grain. So part of their raising awareness project, in around 2019, they started brewing beers with Fonio. different experiments. They would, you know, Garrett has a lot of beers that he talks about where he did one, his first beer, I think they did 50% Fonio and probably didn't dialed it down from there. And, you know, this is a grain that doesn't have a husk like barley does. So you are, you know, when we brew with barley, one of the great things about it is that it has this husk that acts like a transfer agent that helps with lautering and Borloff, where the Fonio doesn't, but that's okay. So, you know, one of their experiences, they did a 50% beer, and I can't remember the base beer, but they mentioned that it was very sake-like. And Carlsberg did 100% Fonio beer with a mash filter. You wouldn't need that type of system. And
or they, incredible patience.
Yeah. I don't even know about that. But the Carlsberg, you know, 100% Fonio beer came out clear, has no color, and it was almost very sake-like, had a lot of pear, aromas, little apple. It was described as being the closest thing to sake a beer has ever been, and clear, which is super interesting. Like, I would love to try that. So this is very much not a nutty flavor. I mean, these beers do not produce nuttiness like the food would if you were just to eat it on its own. We did at Pilot, we made a porter. So we actually made it. It was funny, kind of funny. So we went on this trip to Guinness. I learned about this. And like a month later, we, Pilot, participates in a festival or a beer tasting called the North Carolina Rare and Vintage Tasting. It's in Durham once a year in the end of January. And it's my favorite. I don't want to call it a festival because they don't like to call it a festival. It is a tasting, but it is the best because they bring in best beers from like all over the world. They do limit the amount of ticket sales, so you're not shoulder to shoulder. It comes with food, like Cantillon and Three Fontaine were there serving Lambic. I mean, oh, it is the best. So the organizer emailed me and he's like, have you heard of Fonio? And I was like, actually, interesting that you bring this up because yes, I have. I have it in my back pocket to get some and do some stuff with. And he knows that we can like pump out some small batch beers pretty quickly. So he's like, will you brew a Fonio beer? We're going to do a form on it. And I was like, yeah, I will if I can get the stuff. So that was like the day, like the week of Christmas. He's asking me this for the end of January festival, mind you. So I'm like, yeah, let me see what I can do. So I do a little googly. I found this company called Yolele out of New York. Fonio on a retail sale, like Whole Foods. A lot of Whole Foods will carry it. You could probably go into not every Whole Foods, but I think a lot on the West Coast, maybe in other areas, not all of them, but like my local one, I don't think they had it, but you could probably get 1 pound bags of grain from there. So I have had a couple of homebrewers be like, how do I? And I'm like, well, you can spend $250 and get a 50 pound bag or find it in Whole Foods. So it's possible. This does come pre-genelitized, which is great. It is ready for brewers to use in the mash. You don't have to, sometimes with like cereal or rice, you'll have to impart an extra step to break down those starches and get them ready for brewing. But you don't have to do that. I mean, that is taken care of for you in the milling process. I believe I would need to do like a little bit more research on like what exactly is done over there, take care of that for you. Or if it's just like, once you process it the normal way, it's just, that's just makes it good to go, which is my guess. However, it's actually a very easy grain to work with. And, you know, I just like to reiterate, there are thousands of types of grain out there. I get so frustrated because the more you learn about this stuff, the more you just learn how much the white man has suppressed so much of everything in your life. But, you know, we're used to wheat and rye and corn and barley, and because that is what we've grown for so long, that is what we use. Specialty grains, they're not specialty. They're ones that we hardly know of, but these grains were suppressed maybe for one reason or another. It doesn't just stop with Fonio. There's so many other things you can use, but Fonio is making such a big splash in the food, in the culinary industry, and it's has such a positive impact, or at least doesn't have a negative impact on climate change, right? We have this grain that can be grown in the desert that doesn't need all these fertilizers or pesticides or nitrates. It can just be grown and harvested and used without causing a shit ton of damage to the climate and supporting this area of the world that could really use the income, right? So try not to get mad, because I'll take, you'll know why in a second. But so we have this like really, we have as brewers, I feel like if we used 5 to 10% of FONIO in all of our beer in the United States, we could probably have a pretty good impact on climate change. And one of the other issues with something like this is the white man. I blame the white man for everything, because let's be honest. But, and I had someone ask me this on Saturday, and I had to like really check myself because I didn't want to get too upset. But he's like, why, what stops us? Why don't we just grow it here? And I'm like, because the whole point is to grow it in the region where it doesn't need all these fucking fertilizers and nitrates and all this shit, and not take away the livelihood from these people. Like, what, such a fucking white person thing to do. Like, you just want to rip out this area of the world where they're like finally starting to survive on this grain that was taken from them 5,000 years ago, and now they're getting it back, and you just want to bring it over here? I was like, so that's not what I said, but I was like, hopefully not. Like, I got a little heated, and I should have toned it back a little bit. I was like, hopefully not. That's like what we do with everything, and then we take away this, the livelihood of this area. Like, why do that? Why? What is the point of, you know, Montana, for example, getting all this, you know, trucking all this, I don't know, taking the FONIO seed, bringing it up here, trucking it up and down mountains in an area that probably doesn't even do well. Like, why, you know? I'm like, stop trying to make everything you, about you. Why don't we just celebrate the fact that this is gaining attention and creating a livelihood for this area of people who really need it, or don't, but they can do it, you know? I'm not pretending like everyone over there is poor and needs a job. That's not what I'm trying to say. But why? What's the point? It just made me so mad. And it's like, no, hopefully we don't do that as well as, like, for these reasons. But I think it's just really great that we can fine. I mean, there's so many other grains out there we could use too, but like, I just really think it's great that it's getting popular, and I don't think it's going to be a trend. I think that there's a real issue in like 30 or so years where we'll run out of fossil fuels, and we're going to need alternatives for what we're doing as brewers mm-hmm. right now if we're going to stay in business.
For sure.
And if you can get your head around that, I mean, I love barley. Don't get me wrong. Like, it's does supports my whole business and does everything, you know, but I would be dumb to not welcome new ideas and ingredients and see how they can, one, better the environment, because honestly, the smaller the brewery you are, the harder it is to do things to not have waste. And mm-hmm. Like, water is a great example. We don't right. we have an instant hot water tank at our brewery. We don't have a way to collect water that we, like, we can't reuse reusable water, and right. I hate that, you know, but so when I find ways that I can do stuff, it's very important. And it's just going to be necessary. And FONIO might not be the answer to all the brewer problems, longevity, but, or it might, but there's other things out there as well that can be used.
And that's, if I can really quickly, yes, that's what yes, I really absolutely. Like about things like FONIO. And, you know, you went to South Africa last year. We'll be going again this year. When we were at HomebrewCon a few years ago with Lucy Korn, she had a, you know, this is a traditional beer, and yeah. it did not look or taste or smell anything like what we consider beer, but that doesn't make it not beer. And that's, you know, like, there are all exactly. of these traditions of beer and everything around the world that, you know, particularly in the United States, we're told, like, this is individual exceptionalism, you know, right? This is the greatest country on earth, and you're indoctrinated with that. So you start to think that, well, if it was so great, then we would have it here. And if we don't have it here, and especially if it comes from someplace like Africa, if we don't have it here and that's where it's grown, then it's not good, or it's not for us, it's not worth it, or whatever. And so I appreciate when grains like this, and, you know, especially like another gluten-free grain, that's yeah. fantastic. And, you know, like, when things like that come into the consciousness, it just reminds us that, like, there truly is an entire world out there. And like you said at the beginning, you know, even with beer, there is an entire world of beer out there that we don't even know exists.
Yep. Because as American beer educators and brewers and stuff, you know, a lot of us go upon these BJCP guidelines or Brewers Association guidelines for entering competition. And Those, you know, Brewers Association especially conforms to market trends in the United States. And BGCP, a style gets added when one of those white men do some traveling and maybe figure out a style. But they don't know everything because they don't go everywhere. And it's not, I get that. You can only go so far, do so much in your lifetime. But there's so much more out there, and especially with the African Beer Cup. You know, that's a great example. You have rice, you have sorghum, stuff that brewers will use here sometimes. But like, that is a very large part of what they grow and what is available to them at a cheaper rate than shipping in barley. And they ship in a lot of barley and hops. Like, they're making, you know, BJCP styles as well. But, you know, like the beer that Lucy had, I always mess up the pronunciation, but it's not even a try. Something like Chikudi, but we got,
but it was
to,
like, it was milky and smoky, and
I learned when I was there last year that, because they had some at one of the events last year that we could try, and I learned that that beer is basically made with like a lot of grain being taken over into the final product. It's very low alcohol, and it will spoil very, very quickly, but it's not widely made. There's not a lot of breweries making it, but there is, like, I think at least one brewery that makes large amounts of it. And it's very important for the people of the area that live there, because some of them are really poor and they'll buy this drink, and it actually provides a little bit of nutrient as well, like for your food source, because it is kind of like they kind of make it that way. So it has all these like grains, and it's a little chunky and it's a little thick to give you like a little bit of a meal, because sometimes some people that live there, that is their meal for the day. And I thought that was like, one, made so much sense and very interesting, because if you do taste it, it is an acquired taste.
For sure. But you know what? Think about the first time you tasted beer.
Oh yeah. No, right? I get
that
it.
Was an
I get
acquired
it.
Taste.
But
another thing I will add, this is kind of going back a little ways. I always want to say fun fact. It's not really a fun fact, but if you are, you know, thinking about how the world was colonized by Western Europe, a good indication that an area was colonized is by looking at the borders of the country, and the straighter and more like squared off the borders are, that is something that has been colonized, because it's just been broken, like hacked out on a map with no regard to, you know, the people who live there, the different societies that are there. And, you know, so you can kind of look at, like, even look at the United States, right? On the East Coast, you have a lot of, you know, states that are divided by rivers, by mountain ranges, whatever. Mm-hmm. Then you get out West and they're all like perfectly square.
Yeah.
That's the same thing, you know, because it was, you know, just colonizing the West and just hacking everything up and saying, this square is yours, this square is mine. And so that is also particularly obvious when you look at a map of Africa.
Yeah. You're not wrong. You are not wrong.
Sometimes I can put that economics degree to use.
So beer is brewed with fonio, you know, at the brewery. We did make an English porter for the form. It had 19% of the malt bill was fonio. Some recommend, okay, so how did I get there about brewing this, and how did I figure out what to do? Because I didn't really know. So Yolele had a FAQ that Garrett made for them that they sent to brewers, which was really helpful. And some of that, you know, feedback was like, okay, don't have too much of an issue with lautering and runoff unless you're going to use a crap ton. But 19%, even up to 27%, which is what Bond Brothers did, we're not having issues. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. One thing I read also was that he was getting about 75% extraction efficiency from fonio, which is great. So the recommendation from him as well was to add this malt or grain into the last 15 minutes of the mash for saccharification.
Oh, okay.
And mash out if you do that.
I was going to ask about like the enzymology of fonio.
So we did that. We added it. So I'm doing like 15 gallons in this batch. We do our normal English porter recipe with the addition of Fonio. We mash in like normal. And then I actually added the Fonio into a grain bag and like did the steeping part at the last 15 minutes, like they suggested. I did that the first two brews. And then the second brew, we didn't do that. We just added it in with the grain, no steeping bag, but we still did it the last 15 minutes. With the steeping bag, I got a little less extraction than 75% to be expected. I got about 69%. Very nice. And then the third time we got better extraction, which makes a little sense. So I did that because of fear of, you know, this doesn't have husk. It is literally like sand and I didn't want to mess anything up, but no issues. And I the third time I tried it without a bag because Bond Brothers, who also made a beer for the Brewers Forum and for the festival, they made a Munich Kells, and they didn't like when they were mashing in the grain, once all the grain was nearly done, they threw in the Fonio. So they did it the whole time, the whole mash time, and they straight in, no bag. And they did 27% worth of their recipe. So I was like, okay, that's all good. Like I won't use the bag next time. Let's just do it this way. And the first beer was English Porter. It definitely gave a little bit lighter body. It did not make it thin by any means. Mm-hmm. Like it wasn't like watery body.
Right.
It was a lighter body than an English Porter. And I wanted to do English Porter specifically, or wanted to do something with a fuller body specifically so people could see how it lightened the body. And then it gave like a Sauvignon Blanc white wine grape characteristic and the aroma to it. It was really nice. So actually, we're entering it into World Beer Cup.
Oh,
pretty excited. I don't know if it will be under English Porter or specialty grain.
I was just going to ask which, if you knew which category it would be in.
It's probably going to be English Porter, to be honest with you, because I don't know. You know how this game goes. Plus, there's no specialty and experimental are one category this year. They're not broken up.
Yeah.
So it's a game that you got to play. Like, I could probably enter this under English Porter and not say anything about the Fonio and probably go fine and nobody would know, or they might think it's too light a body. So haven't decided, but the second beer we did was an IPA. We just released it this past Saturday. Now I did use a lot of New Zealand hops in this IPA, which can give like tropical passion fruit, leche, guava, all those great tropical flavors. So with that being said, it does seem like, and if you listen to this podcast, I mentioned Garrett talks about how Fonio gave in his kale ale, gave a lot of leche characters and passion fruit. And I get that. I really do get that in this IPA. I did use hops that will also give you that. So it is kind of hard to tell what's coming from what, but that's also beer. There also might be a thought that do some thiols. But I don't think it's been like proven scientifically.
Okay.
But that's kind of like the general consensus of like, which makes sense. You're getting, I mean, this pale ale, I mean, this IPA I did is like fucking leche and guava, like so much.
Nice.
Like to the point where you're like, this can't all be from the hops, you know? but it's kind of, you know, it's hard to really know. But that beer had 15% Fonio grain. And right now in our fermenter, we have a California Common with Fonio that we're going to name Califonio Common.
Oh my gosh, that is amazing. That went.
Pretty excited for that. So we'll see how that goes. It is lagering right now. We used a San Francisco lager yeast. So, you know, me and my high pressure lager, I like to use that for everything. But so this one's taking a little longer, which is okay. And then in April, we are going to do a collaboration beer with April Dove.
Mm-hmm, from the community.
From the community. And a Fonio beer. And we're going to talk about that later today. Like me and her are going to talk about that later today, exactly what it's going to be. But I love it. I'm so excited. I did order this grain straight from Yolele. It was expensive. And with shipping for a 50-pound bag, it was $250. However, and I'm using it in 15-gallon batches right now. So it's okay for that purpose, price-wise. Like, I'm using 5 pounds average per batch. So I can get a lot of beers out of that on a small scale. However, right. I did hear a rumor that BSG has started to carry it, like, as of, like, maybe a month ago or two. or four brewers. So I will explore that rumor later this week, actually, when I talk to them. And hopefully that's true, because that would be amazing savings on shipping. And, you know, I'm hoping that with April, if I can work it into the schedule, we will make a six-barrel batch of Bunyo beer, which would be our first big batch. So hopefully I can make that happen. I'm pretty excited. I just love doing new grains. I do know that in Charlotte, Lenny Boy made a Fonio beer. I don't know anything about it. I just heard that they were serving it at a festival like 2 weeks ago. I have no idea if it's available in the tap room or if it was just small batch or whatever. But more and more people are definitely starting to experiment with it. And I just think it's so great, because I do think it could be a real change. I don't think it's a fad. You know, it maybe in individual breweries, it could be a fad and what they use it for. But I really do think this could be something that needs to be paid attention to, especially us business owners, as we grow, if we plan on being open in 30 years, which I'm not, fucking not. Just let you know that right now.
We'll still be doing this podcast though, because in 30 years, podcasts will totally still be a thing.
Oh my God. We'll be so old. Oh my God. I'll be 68 in 30 years. I'm not doing this podcast in 30 years.
I'll be 74.
And we'll
be like, back in our day.
We're always going to be my old lady voice. We're always going to be relevant. Never, always listen to us.
And back in our day, beer was made with water, not recycled urine.
We've been to Belgium 273 times, okay?
Before the water wars and climate migration.
Yeah. A couple other things about Fonio. There is a white type of Fonio and a black type of Fonio.
Okay. I was going to ask about that, because coming into this, truly, I did not know what Fonio was. And so I was thinking about this episode, and for some reason in my mind, I was thinking Fonio was like a kind of wheat. And I think I was thinking that because of Kernza, like that's a newer wheat, but a wheat that people have been trying to develop for brewing. And so I was like, yeah, I wonder if there's like, you know, like soft white Fonio and hard red Fonio. So this is answering my question.
Yeah, there are, as far as I know, just a white Fonio and black Fonio. The white Fonio is the most common, and like of the device group, like of the wild and domesticated species. And it is a millet type grain. So is the black. My Fonio is a millet type grain. The white Fonio looks, that is what I have at the brewery. It's mostly white or like tan like color, has like a little bit of purple in it, which is kind of cool. Very small amount. Like, this is a side story that only you're going to really understand, Jen, but you know that, that painting I have of Citra, and she's got like a purple nose.
Yes.
But in real life she doesn't. But when you see it, you're like, you do have a purple nose. It's like that.
Right.
It's really interesting. Really interesting. And then black Fonio, it's not necessarily black, but it is like a dark brown, a little bit less common, but it's nutritious and it's fast growing and it will mature very quickly. Both these types of Fonio will mature very quickly, about 8 weeks. You can get a full crop.
Oh, wow.
But I think the crop will only mature once a year.
Got it.
So I'm not sure exactly how that works. Like, I imagine this farm having different fields of Fonio that pop up at different times. So you're always doing something, but I don't know if that's true or not.
Yeah. I mean, maybe so.
I did talk a little bit about the harvesting and how labor intensive was. You know, you basically have this small little grain that has a small little encasing around it that needs to be removed and it needs to be cleaned to sand. But I think that's it. I know that there are, Yoleole has been working with some different companies out in Africa to provide the machinery needed to these farmers so they can do big batches of Fonio. And I do have, let's see, right here is a little bit of a stat for you. Like Guinea, did I say that right? Guinea?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. Guinea is the biggest producer of Fonio with a production of 483,906 tones, which I actually don't know what a tone is in my mind. But a T-O-N-N-E?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
I can't
spell.
I think that's a metric ton.
Yeah, okay.
As opposed to Imperial ton, there's a little bit of a difference.
Gotcha. So, but that production takes up almost 1.5 million acres of land. And this was a stat from 2001.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
And so I'll just ask outright.
Yeah.
Because I, from my context clues, it does not seem like Fonio is malted at all, right? You're using kind of the raw grain, but it's been gelatinized.
But it's good to go.
Okay.
Correct.
Got it.
Correct. So you're not going to get crystal Fonio.
Okay.
Or pine kiln or low kiln Fonio.
Got it.
It sounds like you're then getting white or black.
Okay. And so so that makes sense then, because you had also said like the, whoever it was who did the beer with like the large amount, I said that it was like very clear beer.
Yeah. So the Carlsberg.
If it's not kiln at all, there's no Maillard reaction. So you wouldn't really
there's
get
no color.
Color
yeah.
from that.
I want to try that so bad. A clear beer, Fonio beer, not barley malt, that tastes like sake, apparently, according to what people say.
Right. Like Crystal Pepsi?
Oh, way to kind of ruin it, I feel like.
Sorry.
It's like purple ketchup. Ugh. Remember that? Yeah, purple and green ketchup?
Yeah. No.
I did not use that.
Very strong response to that.
Yeah. I would rather have a clear Pepsi than that.
Okay. Noted.
But yeah, that's kind of what I got for Fonio.
I like that. And what I like about it too is, well, one, I know with Pilot, you all do quite a lot with kind of like new to us and novel different kinds of grains and malted products. Like you've done the sunflower seeds, you've done
forgot about
like
that. I'll never do that again.
Like you've done some stuff like the newer, you know, when people come out with new things, you're very quick to be like, okay, cool, let me try this out.
Because it gets me excited.
Right. You know? And what I really like about everything you're describing is, and like this was something, these were conversations I had a lot when I worked in craft malt, is the brewers, you know, like Garrett Oliver, like Vinny, telling you, here is how you use this, or here is how we used it, and explaining to brewers, like, this isn't, you're not using this the same way you're using this as a two-row base malt kind of thing, because there is a difference, right? And you're paying for that difference, and your customers are going to taste that difference, so you need to understand how to work with it, because what happens, at least in my experience, a lot of times with like craft malt, is that brewers would try craft malt and they would treat it just like their RAR 2 row.
Sure.
And there's nothing wrong with using RAR 2 row at all, but you know, like you need to adjust your mill. You need to you wouldn't want somebody to walk in your brewery and say all of your beer tastes like Bud Light.
Yeah.
Right?
No.
So why are you paying this premium for craft malt and then treating it like RAR 2 row? It's just not the same thing. And so I really, really appreciate when there is like clear guidance for
brewers. Yeah, it was nice to have someone do it first, and especially these bigger guys like Guinness and Carlsberg, who are taking this product and using it. So you know a big brewery like that isn't just going to be like, well, you know, the product is safe. It's food safe. It's B Corp certified.
Yeah, they
have
huge research.
Yeah. It comes
like
over
Guinness
pre-gelatinized.
And Carlsberg they have like all of this research that they can do on it, and like all of this lab equipment to figure out exactly how to use it.
Yeah. And it makes the small batch community of brewers more like, I feel good about the risk.
Right.
I don't mind buying to, I mean, I probably would have anyways, because that's me, but like, I don't mind, like all these breweries are doing it. You know, the fact that it's pre-gelatized before it leaves Africa is really cutting down on a lot of red tape for us, because this product is like food safe.
Right.
So, and it's good. It's ready to eat, you know, for the consumer as well. All you got to do is cook it or eat it raw, which would be weird and sandy, but you could. No, it is nice to have people be like, or the bigger breweries be like, no, we're doing this. It's a good product. It's good for climate change. Like that stuff should start with them. They have the resources to bring in pallets of it, to do the experiments, to like, they're the ones that need to start making bigger changes than I do as Pilot, because every brewery should always be doing what's best for their environment to the best of their ability. However, when you can follow the guidelines of these guys, it makes it more, people are more likely to use it.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. They take on that risk because they're better suited to be able to take on that risk. Whereas like if you, well, I can say at a brewery I used to work at, the brewmaster got excited about the concept of chocolate spelt and ordered an entire pallet of chocolate spelt.
Oh no.
And that, then
that's like, you don't need a,
that's also probably why this brewery is no longer in business. And then had me do like hot steeps because we were trying to figure out a recipe for a new core beer. And he really wanted to use that. But when we did the hot steep, it was like the lowest rate among all of them. And it just didn't taste good.
Yeah.
And now we have this entire palette that something like chocolate spelt is incredibly niche and incredibly expensive. And it's like, okay, well now this palette is just going to sit here and rot. Like why? First of all, why did you do that? Anyway, you need at most one bag, but, you know, with that is a big risk for a small brewery. And that can be like a huge financial hit if it doesn't turn out the way you think it is, or if you're not sure how to use it in the optimum way. So that is very cool that breweries like Guinness and Carlsberg and, you know, big craft breweries like Brooklyn and Russian River were like, okay, we did, you know, we used our resources and our labs and our research, and this is how.
And they haven't stopped
it. Right.
I mean, this has been, they've been, as far as I know, their project started like 2019. So, I mean, that's awesome.
Yes, that's very cool.
I love it. If anyone's around Pilot and they want to come check out Fonio, not going to guarantee I have a beer on for you, but I do have the grain. It sits out in a little container. It's labeled and it's pretty.
Oh, cool.
Because, you know, education is my thing.
Right.
Yeah. Someone asked me the other day, what gets me inspired? Like what resources are out there that I study or inspire me? And I was like, fuck, I don't know anymore. Not that I know everything. I don't. But like, I was like, I don't know. Master's Brewers Association stuff is good. I like that. I like Escarpment Labs. I was like naming a couple things I really like as resources. But I was like, but honestly, when I come across something I haven't heard of before, oh man, that's what gets me real excited.
Yeah.
Like I love it.
Yeah, and definitely one of the like big benefits of having a nano brewery is able to like just experiment with that
all
stuff.
I need and is being a little able bit.
To experiment it on a small enough scale that if it goes bad, like it's not devastating for you.
Exactly. Yeah. And that is why we are Pilot Brewing.
That's right.
Small
That's
batch.
Why you're the most award-winning brewery in Charlotte.
Fucking right, baby. Still am.
Thank you, Rachel, for telling us about Fonio.
Fonio.
I know you were very excited to talk about it. I was very excited to learn about it. Like I said, I had seen it, you know, and I was aware that Pilot was using it. And so I came into this like really not knowing anything about it. And now I was looking at Google. I'm like, where can I find Fonio near me?
I know.
So I might try it out myself. But thank you for sharing all of that with us. And thank you for being an early adopter of new things in the brewing industry so you can share that knowledge with other people and maybe give them, you know, the information and courage they need to try it out. Like you said, something that's much more sustainable and better for the climate. So that is super cool. If you all would like to reach us, you can find us at falsebottomgirls.com. You can email us, falsebottomgirls@gmail.com, and you can find us on social media at falsebottomgirls.
This has been False Bottom Girls,
and we make the brewing world go round. False Bottom Girls is proudly sponsored by Jasper Yeast, yeasts that are out of this world. Learn more about Jasper Yeast at jasperyeast.com.